You're listening to NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. This is Speaking of Sports with Jim Daniels on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day. And now, it's Jim Daniels.
Thanks for dialing us up and making us a part of your morning. We appreciate that. From coast to coast, this is Speaking of Sports. I'm your host, Jim Daniels. Thanks for being with us and once again making us a part of your Sunday. Appreciate that. We have a developing news story for you this morning early on, and that is the announcement, actually not unofficial still, but the announcement that Peyton Manning is going to call it a career. The news is being reported by ESPN's Chris Mortensen that after 18 seasons in the NFL, it is time for Peyton Manning to hang him up. He will retire as the NFL's all-time leader in passing touchdowns, 539, passing yards, 71,940, and quarterback wins, that's 186, and that is also a tie with Brett Favre, 14 of those years with the Indianapolis Colts. And then wrapping the career up with the Denver Broncos and a Super Bowl victory. Manning was a 5-time MVP, a Super Bowl MVP, a 14-time Pro Bowl selection, and 7-time first-team All-Pro. His team made the playoffs in 15 of his 18 seasons, and he had 14 4,000-yard passing seasons. Good Lord, 14 4,000-yard passing seasons. And of the three seasons in league history in which a quarterback threw at least 49 touchdown passes, Manning's got two of them. So he is quite the keeper of records. That list is even longer, actually, the accolades that Peyton will retire with. But, yeah, that's the news being reported this morning. All of it's plastered all over the place this morning. Breaking, developing news story. Peyton Manning will announce his retirement from the Denver Broncos headquarters during a news conference on Monday. Don't want to get in the way of all the Sunday activities, so he'll move it to Sunday. So there you go. We've been wondering what's going to happen. As a matter of fact, I have been talking about a story this morning that the interest in Peyton Manning was drying up. A month ago, there was talk that he was going to go to the Rams. I was just discussing this with Pete Fox a moment ago, saying it seemed like maybe the right thing. You know, they're coming back to L.A. You want to make a splash. Here's the Super Bowl winning quarterback. But you know what? The more you think about it, the more that is not a splash and wouldn't be a splash if the guy only played 6 or 7 games because of injury or whatever. There's not been a whole lot of teams burning up the Manning phone lines, if at all. And so that, based with the declining skills, Peyton Manning going to call it a career. That's what that looks like. Make it official from Denver tomorrow. Now, staying with the NFL here, we've got your athlete arrest of the week. How about this one? Terrell Suggs is the latest. Now, he was arrested on Friday. If he'd been arrested in Arizona, and he was arrested for driving on a suspended license. Well, apparently it's worse than that. As it turns out, a writer from the Baltimore Sun said that Suggs has also been charged with leaving the scene of an accident. Now, per this writer of the Baltimore Sun, he said police responded to a call of a one-car crash. They found his BMW in a parking lot, and he was getting into a car. Somebody called somebody to come pick him up. He also had a great big gash in his forehead, but since nobody saw anything, he said, well, you know, I'm not impaired. I just kind of fell asleep at the wheel. The charge of leaving a scene of a crime or leaving the scene of an accident gives the situation maybe a little bit more ominous feel because the league will be looking into this now. Now, Suggs probably looking at some kind of punishment for that, but it's going to depend on exactly what the folks in Arizona are going to decide they're going to charge him with. Terrell Suggs, your high-profile arrest of the week. Now, we just finished the combine, and one of the stories to come out of the combine is the Atlanta Falcons and their inappropriate question, or inappropriate gender-based question. The Falcons have apologized on Friday for asking Ohio State cornerback Eli Apple whether he likes men. And apparently the Falcons are maybe not the only ones asking that question. As a matter of fact, a writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports that the Falcons' behavior was not isolated to just this one player. Quote, a few players told me the Falcons were asking gender questions. This is the writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution saying that after Michael Sam and the Jonathan Martin situation, teams want to be careful. Yeah, the Atlanta Falcons did ask a guy if he liked men. You know, there's the other story in there, too, that you know, if you had the chance, if you had the opportunity to murder someone and you knew you'd get away with it, would you? Yeah, that was a question asked. And then the follow-up question, gun or knife? Honestly, we've had the Wonderlic questions on before a number of times and talked about that, and we usually have a pretty good time with that. But are you gay? Do you like men? Would you kill somebody if you could get away with it? Seems like maybe just a little bit overboard. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Now, staying with football, staying with the NFL, kind of, and follow me here for just a second. A lot of people, a ton of people, they're getting great ratings, are watching this miniseries put on by FX, The People versus O.J. Simpson. And the story has, I should say the series has brought the story back to life. The story coming back to life has forced countless outlets all over your television to put together one kind of program or another about the story, about the murders, about the trial, about OJ, about the juice. And so many so that you now have a report that the four-letter network, ESPN, later this summer is going to be releasing their own five-part miniseries about OJ. And then recently, just this week, and you've probably heard this, this news is not exclusive to Los Angeles where this show comes to you from, but you had someone turn in a knife this week. Yeah, during the middle of this OJ miniseries, somebody steps forward and says, well, you know, I got this knife. And the way the story goes is that OJ, well, the murders happened in 94, OJ's house was sold and torn down by whoever bought it. And while the construction crew was tearing it down, a worker found a buck knife in the yard, in the debris, the rubble, somewhere in the yard. So he knew what it was, knew where they were, and so he flagged down a cop, a motorcycle policeman, and said, hey, told him the story, gave him the knife. Well, apparently that cop held on to it. Now, the word is, it's been conflicting, too. At first was he just held on to it thinking, well, the trial is over. There's no need to do anything. It's been several years. I'll just hold on to it. Since there's been a revision of the story that says the officer called the LAPD and said, I've got this knife. And they said, hey, double jeopardy, trial's over. No big deal. Keep it. It's a memento. So depending on who you talk to is why he held on to it all these years. But that's the story, they got the knife, a police officer got the knife and held onto it. What was the whole crux of the trial? What was the big deal about the trial? Why did OJ get off? Because the LAPD mishandled evidence. Is this the LAPD mishandling evidence again? I mean, honestly, 20 years later, and that's what the story is? That a cop had the knife and decided to hold on to it for a memento? Isn't that mishandling evidence once again? I mean, they're testing it for DNA and fingerprints and all that kind of stuff, but come on. 18 years after the fact? Nonetheless, that's the story with the knife. But it prompted me to go back and look at the juice's career. And I was curious, you know, besides the 2,000-yard season, you know, what kind of a monster was O.J. Simpson on the gridiron? And the answer is not a big one. And I'm going to give you the example. 11 seasons in the NFL, the first three were nothing, stiff, 400, 700, you know, not doing anything. Now, he was supposed to be the next Jim Brown or the guy that was going to shatter all of Jim Brown's records. Jim Brown, first 5 years he was in the season, was a 1,000-yard monster, beast, unstoppable. O.J. was not even in the conversation. It was not until year four that he eclipsed 1,000 yards. I mean, most backs get 1,000 yards, so 1,200 yards in his fourth year, no big deal. The fifth year, 1973, he went for 2,003 yards. And that's what got him in the Hall of Fame. The year after that, 1,100 yards. The year after that, 1,800. That's pretty good. The year after that, 1,500. That's pretty good. So basically, you have 3 years. Then again, he doesn't break 1,000 after that. He had three good years where this guy was a really effective, dominating running back. The rest of the time, not so much. O.J. Simpson in the Hall of Fame because he's a one-hit wonder? I'd say so. I'd say that's exactly why he's in the Hall of Fame, is because of only the 2,000-yard season. Now, look, you can't go be in a revisionist, go back and say, well, let's take him out of there now. Because, but yeah, O.J. Simpson, one-hit wonder. That's what I'd say. Coming up next on the program, we're going to talk to the professor about the business, the deal-making of sports. It's Rick Horro next on NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com.
Stay tuned. There's much more coming your way next on NBC Sports Radio, because we come to play. Come to play. Check us out on the web at NBCSportsRadio.com or download the NBC Sports Radio app for your mobile device and take us wherever you go 24-7. For the latest breaking news in sports, you'll find it all right here on NBC Sports Radio, because every day is game day.
It's NBC Sports Radio, NBCSportsRadio.com. This is Speaking of Sports. Thanks for joining us. I'm here every Sunday morning with a little bit of, action that is outside of the box score. We like to push the box score aside and take a different look at some of the individuals and stories that are making news this morning. The show is brought to you by Grainger, serving you with the products you need to help keep your facility running. Call, click, or stop by today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. We have developing news story this morning. About Peyton Manning, it looks like he has decided to call it a career, and they'll be having a press conference in Denver tomorrow to announce the retirement of one of the all-time greats. Now one of the all-time greats in the business of making a deal. As a matter of fact, this guy's even written books about it. It's Rick Horro joining us now on the program. The professor, good morning, sir.
Off script, because it's a big deal today. Good morning, sir. And you know it was forced by the tender and the contract that requires at the beginning of next week that he has to make a decision to work at pay. And that forced this. And it's a major issue. Everybody's talking about it as if it's done. I'm pretty sure it's going to be done. And, you know, from the perspective of his endorsements, they'll continue. They'll continue even bigger now as he morphs into whatever he's going to do in his career. We're coming up with our annual Power 100 top athletes on and off the field in conjunction with Reuters and others, and it'll be interesting to see where he is, because it's off and on field, plus social media that he doesn't use as much as other people. He'll be in the top five of all athletes from last year, and obviously it's even higher, and he's done something that nobody else has done ever, and it's an amazing big announcement. It'll dominate the headlines over the next week, just as I've dominated the last 2 minutes of airtime.
Let me ask this question about the endorsement side of things and the business of what will be Peyton Manning's career now post-football. Now, we know what a great mind he is for football. That doesn't always translate to coaching. He's got options here. I mean, if he decides that's what he wants to do, maybe he wants to be a quarterback's coach, maybe a head coach, something like that, he could certainly do that. But wouldn't the television career be much more lucrative?
Yeah, and I'm not sure he jumps for only the money. I know that's hard to say, especially, you know, you and I would jump toward probably money. But, you know, Alan Page was the Chief Justice of the Minnesota Supreme Court. You know, he's not a lawyer. I guess what I'm saying is that he has a lot more options way beyond just coaching. There were rumors about him taking an equity interest in teams around the NFL. There would be three obvious ones. Which ones? Indianapolis, Tennessee, and New Orleans. That doesn't mean that that's going to happen. It just means that he has many, many options way beyond coaching, including sitting around playing a little golf and counting his money. But he's too type A for that.
Yeah, he's way too type A to be sitting around. There's no question about that. We've seen his ease in front of the camera doing the commercials with his brother and that kind of thing. When I watch what John Gruden is doing, you talk about reinventing yourself. Here's a guy that was a football coach, and he's turned himself into not only a television celebrity, but he's also a college/pro quarterback guru and a television personality. This guy has parlayed himself a wonderful career post-football. I would think Peyton Manning is up for the exact same thing.
Well, he also can be an equity owner, which he already is, but a corporate manager. He's as good in the boardroom as anybody that I've seen, based on how he behaves and how he's educated with numbers. He has Papa John's franchises, let's remember. Mm-hmm. He also has equity interest in a lot of his endorsements that he does. He can parlay some business issues that combine football, entertainment, and golf. So there's, when you have leverage and you have an opportunity to say no to a lot of things, it makes your yeses a lot more satisfying.
Well, we will look for the news conference on Monday. Apparently, that's the word, the developing story out of the Denver area that Peyton Manning will call it a career. Now let's go to someplace that I don't know how comfortable you are with this, but you will be comfortable with the topic, and that's UFC fighting. You had two stunners last night in Las Vegas. Misha Tate beats Holly Holm. She gets the belt. And then in another stunning contest, Nate Diaz manages to get Conor McGregor, who is supposed to be one of the big up-and-coming guys in UFC, to tap out after just a couple of rounds. I want to go with the ladies first, because Ronda Rousey, you know, after her loss, I mean, this was a media darling. I mean, she was posed to make all kinds of stuff, movies and all kinds of things. I wonder, where are we headed now? Because the big rematch with Holly Holm isn't going to happen. I mean, will it be? Is this going to be a great big media excitement thing to see her fight Misha Tate, who she's already beat twice?
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, Buster Douglas comes to mind on both sides of that. those of your listeners who are too young to remember that, I'm not going to help them. You know, look it up. So the bottom line of all of this is
Tyson.
The guaranteed kind of punditry semifinals, winner takes this, doesn't automatically happen. And what it also means, though, is that you could argue that UFC is better down the road because we have a new group of people that will be alternates to the superstar legacy never lose person. I like the other argument better, that the superstar needs to have the big payday, and so does Dana White and others who are involved in the money side of the sport. Mm-hmm. So obviously it doesn't mean that it's going to be bad and no money. It just means that we may have to wait for the rematch with Holly Holm, or maybe it was just a bad night for Ronda Rousey and she ends up coming back, winning, and then going forward, just like those who will Google Buster Douglas remember that.
Yeah, look in Japan. Let me ask about Nate Diaz, yeah, because this is not a household name when it comes to UFC, but you know what? He's somebody who's really made a mark for himself. If you're that guy or you're in his camp, are you on the phone this very morning trying to get this guy endorsement deals and trying to make the endorsement dollars come in?
Well, it's fleeting, because upsets mean that somebody comes from, you know, somewhere where you really don't know and you never know what's going to happen. And it's also very difficult to secure those long term, because I'm not sure a corporation is going to spend big dollars on somebody who may be gone by the next fight. Or the other argument is you come in on the ground floor, this person wins a number of times, and you get a good deal because this is the early pioneer endorsement that's worth a whole lot more. There are two sides to every sale regarding endorsements, but the answer is, if I'm the agent, I've already been on the phone for 5 hours trying to get some deals done.
Yeah, probably as soon as the fight was over, you were trying to make those deals. All right, what else have you got up the Horo Sports Brief that you want to cover today?
Well, you know, the big issue today is obviously not just the Peyton Manning thing, but as part of the Chicago Cubs 4-year deal, this is an interesting one. I just wanted to kind of cover it. They tap Olivet Nazarene University as their official education partner. That's not important on a national show, but it is that a lot of schools are reaching out with a lot of teams to try to get deals done. Ben Zobrist went to that school. That's where the Bears train, and they decided that they would put together a deal where they have an official kind of education partner, bring it to Wrigley Field. Ben Zobrist will be the spokesman. He'll be maybe a part-time second baseman for the Cubs. Who knows the way they're moving players in and out. And the brand is showcased. So every team around all sports are looking at deals with schools and colleges for training facilities, for sponsorships, for other things. So that's kind of a trend that not too many people are seeing, but we're seeing it. I'm seeing it. You're seeing it.
Rick, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program and talk about the dollars and the sense of sports. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks for being with us on NBC Sports Radio.
We morphed into breaking news. We'll talk next week.
How about that? Breaking news.
All right.
Thanks, bud. Great stuff, man. This guy's written a couple of books. When the Game is on the Line is one that you might want to check out if you like the art of the deal. All right, coming up next, a little treat for you bracketologists. It's NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com.
You're listening to NBC Sports Radio Weekends. This is Speaking of Sports with Jim Daniels on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day. Now, it's Jim Daniels.
NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. Let's go back to school. Do you hear that big gasp that so many of my listeners just sucked right all the air right out of the country? No, no, no. It's not that kind of go back to school. It's fun. Actually, we're in the season for March Madness, and the madness extends in many different directions. This time, we're going to take the madness to a professor. That's right, Professor Jeff Bergen, mathematics professor at DePaul University, going to join us now to talk a little March Madness. Professor Bergen, thanks for spending time with us this morning on NBC Sports Radio.
Thanks for having me.
I'm wondering what March Madness class do you teach at DePaul University?
I don't teach any March Madness class, but the mathematics actually needed to figure out the odds of a perfect bracket are really things that could be taught at any high school and probably are taught at most high schools in the country. It's just that the end result gives numbers so astounding that people think that the computations are harder than they are. It's the predictions that are hard. It's not the computations.
Now, bracketology is a word that we've learned, I think, because of March Madness, but it is actually the study of teams. And, you know, there is a science to March Madness, if you want to break it down and put it in mathematics. Before we get into the staggering stats, it really can be a big math game, right?
Well, what's interesting is there's sort of the easy math question, which gives the astounding number. What are your odds of getting a perfect bracket if you're just guessing? But then the really hard question is, what are the odds of getting a perfect bracket if you really know college basketball and you really study the pairings and study the teams? And, I have what I think the odds are, but, I mean, there's no right answer. There are lots and lots of numbers floating around for that.
Well, as we all know, a number one seed has never lost to a 16 seed in the men's tournament. So just basic knowledge of how the tournament works is probably going to help some people. Because if you're the, and pardon me for saying so, but the receptionist or the homemaker or someone that is not necessarily involved in the business of sports, you're going to have just a slight advantage of knowing little things like that, right?
Right. I mean, the first thing in this is, don't worry about having a perfect bracket. Just worry about having fun, maybe trying to win your family pool, maybe trying to win your office pool. And, if you're just having fun and picking team colors and who's alma mater, that's great. But if you want to increase your chances, I mean, you certainly need to take into consideration the fact that a one has never beaten a 16. I mean, a one has never lost to a 16.
Right.
And in some ways, that's not that surprising because if you think about it, when you rank the teams, 1 through 64 in the tournament, the number 64 team, which gets a 16 seed, they're actually much lower than the 64th team in the country. The teams that are ranked 16 are probably more like the 120th best team in the country. So, I mean, it really is very, very tough to get a 16 to beat a 1. So, if you are really trying, to use, some logic in this. Yeah, you definitely want to pick the ones.
From DePaul University, Professor Jeff Bergen is with us. He teaches mathematics there. We're turning bracketology into mathematics, into March Madness, and this is the maddening part here. Some of the numbers that you have uncovered are absolutely astonishing, mind-blowing for sports fans. Why don't you hit us with, first, what are the odds, actually, of hitting a perfect bracket?
Well, the odds, if you're just guessing, and again, the way a bracket is set up, there are 68 teams, but the four play-in games don't count in coming up with a perfect bracket. So the perfect bracket really only deals with 64 teams or 63 games. So in order to pick 63 games correctly, if you're guessing, the odds are 1 out of 2 raised to the 63rd power. Well, saying 2 to the 63rd power doesn't blow you away.
No.
Until you plug it into your calculator and you see that you get a 9 followed by 18 zeros. And frankly, when I first did this, I didn't even know what that number was called. I had to check with my wife who was teaching middle school mathematics, and she had a book that said, 18 zeros, that's a quintillion. So the answers are more than 1 in 9 quintillion. And, if you want, I can give you some comparables about things that seem impossible but are actually easier to do than getting a perfect bracket by guessing.
Oh, hold on. Let me lead you to that one because I want to get my head wrapped around 9 quintillion. I don't know if I can calculate that number, but I think it's hilarious that you had to go to your wife who's teaching middle school mathematics and say, wait a minute, what exactly is this? Now, you've made some comparisons. I've seen your brief, and you've made a couple of them, and they're absolutely astonishing. Why don't you go ahead and start at the top of the list that these next few things are more likely than a perfect bracket. What's your first one?
Okay. The first is that Steph Curry is more likely to hit 414 foul shots in a row in game conditions. And to put that in perspective, the present professional record is 97.
Going, I know what all the records are. You give me that, I'll give the records. Yeah, 97 in a row is the record. Steph Curry hitting 400 free throws in a row. All right, what else have you got? What's number two on your list?
Tom Brady completing 96 passes in a row.
Now, we all know that the NFL record is 25, so it'd be a long way from that, too. Let's go back in the past now.
A couple from baseball. Babe Ruth is synonymous with home runs. It's more likely that he would have hit home runs in 17 consecutive at-bats.
And we all know that the home run record is only 4 consecutive at-bats for a home run. How about if we go to the other end of baseball? How about out on the mound?
Well, Nolan Ryan, and again, he is the king of strikeouts. It would have been easier for him to strike out 31 batters in a row.
And of course, the MLB record only 10. And then finally, since this, got to get a little bit of football in here. Any of your favorite football teams, right?
Right. If you have a favorite football team, they are more likely to win the next 13 Super Bowls
in a row.
In a row, yes.
Absolutely astonishing and fun stuff. As a math professor, this makes you probably maybe a little bit more popular on campus than the rest of the year?
Well, I certainly get a lot more phone calls and emails, but people who know me are smart enough to know, ask me the odds, but don't ask me who's likely to win a given game.
Fun stuff.
I'm not only as bad as everybody else, I might even be worse than everybody
else. Well, you know what? A lot of that picking has to do with alma maters and colors and uniforms. Professor Bergen, I want to thank you for taking time with us today. Fabulous conversation. We're all excited about March Madness, and maybe now we understand it just a little bit better. Thanks for joining us today from DePaul University.
Okay, thank you for having me.
It's staggering. I mean, come on. 400 free throws in a row? 96 pass completions in a row? 13 Super Bowls in a row? Yeah, don't plan on discovering a perfect bracket anytime soon, which is why Warren Buffett came out a couple of years ago and offered $1 million for the perfect bracket. He knew that there was a win-win situation, right? All right, coming up next, we'll bring Pete Fox into the conversation, as we always do for Speaking of Sports. It's NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com.
NBC Sports Radio.
Hi, this is Wayne Gretzky, and you're listening to NBC Sports Radio.
With so many ways to tell us what's on your mind, you got no excuse. Send an email to the Granger Get It Done inbox. Email getitdone@nbcsportsradio.com. We are NBC Sports Radio, and our game never stops.
It's NBC Sports Radio and NBC Sports Radio. This is Speaking of Sports. I'm your host, Jim Daniels. We do this every Sunday morning where we like to kick the box score aside a little bit and take a slightly different look at some of the individuals and the stories that are making news. We have developing news for you this morning. Pete Box in the update studio now going to join me. And apparently it looks like Peyton Manning has made his decision, yeah?
Yeah, indeed. It's going to be Peyton Manning's day today, right? All about Peyton Manning all day long.
Yeah, they'll talk about it all day long. Then apparently on Monday, I don't see a time here as I'm sifting through all of this, but I'm sure they'll announce it sometime on Monday from the Mile High City. It looks like the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning will both make it official that it's time for him to hang him up. And maybe that helps Brock Osweiler make his decision, because they've offered him $45 million for 3 years. And apparently he still may want to test free agency. Is he nuts?
Yes, very much so. You're on a winning team with a fantastic defense, a team that you know, he knows the offense there. Obviously, he still has room to grow, but I don't know what would be more green as far as the pasture for him out there.
I can't imagine. I mean, first of all, I would imagine most of these guys are playing because they want to win a championship. You're going to, and if you're a good player, if you're an elite player especially, you're going to get paid. You're going to get your money. All you got to do is stay healthy, and you know, you're going to knock down a few paydays. So now about the business of winning, if you're a professional football player, who doesn't want to play on the team that has the number one defense in the league?
Yeah, exactly. Coming off a Super Bowl, you got to feel like everyone's positivity is way up. It doesn't make any sense to me. Even before Peyton made this announcement, we all kind of assumed that he would. Mm-hmm. Many hoped that he would. Mm-hmm. There was still a lot of talk that Brock Osweiler is a quarterback that a lot of teams are seeking. And I was scratching my head. Why is Brock Osweiler even being considered in this conversation?
Well, they've offered him a ton of money, $45 million for 3 years, but the word is that his camp wants him to test free agency and see if there's more money out there. Can't imagine, like you said, I mean, right off the top, why would you leave the Super Bowl champions? Sure, it's hard to repeat, but you really want to walk away from that defense, so maybe you don't win it next year. Maybe it's 2 years before you win it again. That defense somehow gets better. All right, that's one thing that I want to talk about here. Another one that I want to talk about is the People versus O.J. Simpson, because I've discovered something in the media that I think is hysterical. Rolling Stone magazine is doing a fact-checking recap after every episode. Did you know this?
No, I didn't.
It's great, because are you watching it? Are you watching the show?
I'm not. I wasn't into it that big the first time around, so I especially am not drawn in by the dramatic recreation.
Right. And you know what? In some cases, that's exactly what it is, too. Now, I covered this in Los Angeles 20 years ago. I was here doing radio when it went on, and we talked about it every single day for 2 years. you know, so it's come back around. I'm interested in it, and I find myself getting caught up in it, and I watch all these different news stories that pop up all over the place in print, on television, everywhere, about the story back then. Where are they now, the books that people wrote? But I find it amazing, or not amazing, but I find it entertaining that Rolling Stone has decided to go with the fact-checking recap. Now, last week, in the episode 5, you had one of the attorneys fall down with a heart attack in the courtroom. And I was like, wait a minute, that's not the way that went down. That was the first thing that gave me a tip that they were taking some liberties, is because that's something Bill Hodgman was the like maybe the voice of reason on that DA team, because you had Marsha Clark, who was obviously in over her head, Chris Darden, who was in over his head, and then you had the voice of calm and reason, Bill Hodgman, and then he's out, and they didn't replace him with anybody. But the way they played it on the show is that because Johnny Cochran was just doing his thing to such a high level that it coaxed Bill Hodgman right into a heart attack in Judge Ito's courtroom. All right, that didn't happen. Okay, that didn't happen.
Well, yeah, it's tough when it's Hollywood and you want to take some liberties, but this is all true stuff. It reminds me of the movie Miracle, you know, the hockey team, United States hockey team against the Russians. In the movie, after they scored a goal, the entire team empties from the bench onto the ice, and they're all high-fiving. I'm like, you can't do that. And then I actually saw the real footage, and that's exactly what happened in the real game. When they scored that goal, they all came off. The entire team came off the bench, went out to, you know, celebrate in the middle of the game. Right. I was like, wow, I can't believe that's okay.
It's surprising that there's some international referee didn't jump in there and say, oh, wait a minute, we take the goal away for some stupid rule. Remember what they did with the Russians in the basketball those years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the other, I don't want to say this developing story because it happened last night, but there's a big shakeup in the UFC. If you're a mixed martial arts fan and you like the UFC, you were probably watching 196 from the Mandalay Bay last night. And if you were, you saw a couple of odd things happen. Number one, Conor McGregor, he lost. Now, it wasn't a title fight. He'd gone up in weight to fight Nate Diaz. Actually, he'd gone up in weight to fight somebody else by the name of Rafael de Anjos. And he got hurt during sparring. So 11 days out, they give him this Nate Diaz guy. Well, Nate Diaz just comes in there and chokes him out in 2 rounds. Didn't even go the distance. I'm a little bit surprised to see this ferocious Conor McGregor, the, you know, the darling of the UFC, go down so easily. Are you surprised that he lost number one and lost so easily in just a couple of rounds?
I guess I am surprised because the only thing that I'm not a huge MMA fan.
Me
I don't
either.
Get into it. But you couldn't get away from it this week with
right.
regard to all the talking back and
mm-hmm.
forth. Right? And everyone was just in, probably still is to a certain extent in love with Conor McGregor. Because he talks such a good game,
yeah.
and it's so entertaining from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of assumed that when you talk a game that good, you have something to back it up. And Nate Diaz was a terrible talker, but really probably didn't need to be. And this is probably what I don't like about it most. And this could be said for boxing as well. The talking, all the talking, all the talking. I'm so tired of the talking.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get in there and
mm-hmm.
fight. And, you know, obviously that doesn't sell the fight. That doesn't help anybody get interested in it. If it's just like, all right, we'll see what happens
yep.
at 8 o'clock on Saturday. You know, that's not what promoters want. But all that talking to me just turns me off, gets me uninterested. So, well, I just kind of assumed that being, I guess I put my faith in, not that I was betting, but I put my faith in Conor McGregor because he was the better talker and he's all over
yeah.
Every website that deals with sports, TMZ Sports, ESPN,
well,
NBC.
Yeah.
It's all over. He's everywhere. So I figured based on that, you know, the hype had to be somewhat believable.
Yeah, you know what? I've been buying into Conor McGregor. That's part of the reason why I paid for the fight. I wanted to see this ferocious fighter. But, boy, he put up just such an awful performance that, you know, I'll never do that again. I'll never waste my money on that again. Look, I thought I was getting two for one. I thought I was going to get to see the
yeah,
chick fight,
yeah.
Misha Tate and Holly Holm. And now Holly Holm has blown her shot at having a rematch against Ronda Rousey. And I got to think Ronda Rousey is pretty happy. She's beaten Misha Tate twice, and I think that's who the next fight is, don't you?
You would think, yeah, based on the fact that they don't like each other
right.
and all of that. But I don't know. I still want to see Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey. I mean, I don't care that she just lost to Misha Tate. It took five rounds. I didn't even know they went five rounds. I thought it was only three rounds. Is it five rounds? Or
yeah.
How many rounds
championship,
can it go?
Yeah, championship, yeah, it is, apparently.
Oh, okay.
And
I mean, it wasn't like she took her down in 30 seconds. I mean, five rounds, that's... you know, a
yeah.
pretty lengthy fight.
It was a boring fight. I mean, neither one would commit to trying to win, and they
mm-hmm.
were both trying not to lose and staying away from each other and rolling around on the ground. And boring fight. Both of them, bad fights. I won't do it again. I won't waste my money on that UFC crap anymore. All right, Pete Fox, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Always a treat to talk to you. Appreciate that. That's going to do it for Speaking of Sports. And I believe Pete Fox is up next in for Coop. Right here on many of these NBC Sports radio stations.